Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to the Pharmacy Focus mini-series, Star Power, Celebrity Endorsements in Pharma, a four-part series including pharmaceuticals, vaccines, Ozempic, and public health. In this final episode, we talk about celebrities as advocates for public health topics, leveraging trust centers, and using peers and healthcare providers as advocates for public health. Celebrity endorsements in pharmaceuticals haven't been just limited to products. Today, we will talk about the public health initiatives that celebrities have endorsed. For example, talk show host Oprah Winfrey released a documentary about racial and health disparities in healthcare, and Movements, a pop rock band, created a music video in association with the Alzheimer's Association. Dr. Alfred Luttrelli from UPMC Presbyterian Shadyside had this to say.
Yeah, so both spreading awareness about specific causes and endorsing specific products can have benefits that are distinct and separate of each other. And the choices of which one could be a benefit, I think, you know, really depends on the nature of the message and the goals of these different, you know, campaigns or initiatives. So looking at the example of Oprah, you know, here Oprah contributes to a broader understanding of societal issues and encourages discussions around important healthcare topics. Discussing specific products, a medication of a certain brand and type, you know, produce the benefits of that certain individual thing that potentially influence individuals to consider those options for their health needs. So awareness about a broad topic, about a societal issue or a disease state, and then endorsement of a specific treatment that might meet an individual's healthcare need, in my mind, are kind of more commingled. And I think you actually need both. They both produce different benefits.
Dr. Christina Madison, the public health pharmacist, had this to add about whether broader public health endorsements had more of an impact than pharmaceutical products.
I think both have their place, right? And so again, for sure, I think that the documentary that Oprah Winfrey did is incredible. I think it's great that, you know, you've got, you know, people who are in creative spaces, like, you know, musicians and artists coming out around things like Alzheimer's. I do think that, you know, when you have it as like a general topic, it does make it a little less sticky.
In an article published in Health Promotion International, Celebrity Endorsements on Health Belief Models, such as infectious disease prevention behaviors, actually influence the target audience's beliefs, such as perception of severity, susceptibility, self-efficacy, and intent to perform the action for minimizing infectious disease spread. Dr. Troy Trigstad of CPESN USA added that initiatives that are led by local celebrities can take on a life of their own to spread disease awareness.
Let's think about disease awareness. How many more Americans are familiar with ALS now because of the Ice Bucket Challenge? The Ice Bucket Challenge was a thing, right? And there was an affinity group. I'm gonna do the Ice Bucket Challenge because I relate to a relative that has it, or somebody I know that has it, I'm motivated. Then maybe it's the fire departments get involved, local celebrities, and then the next fire department or whatever else, right? It really takes off when you get celebrities to now pitch in, right? So it's almost like a coenzyme effect where you can put extra gas or accelerant onto something like that. But they are very powerful. Think how much money you could spend to try to get the same level of impact on awareness of ALS versus really what amounts to earned media, because you're taking advantage of people's affinities and it strings together, right? So what does that have to do with sort of health promotion? I would probably say the greatest effect is probably just awareness and education. Right. Again, I go back to Katie Couric and colonoscopies, right? John Kruk and testicular cancer. Destigmatizing things. What better a person? And apparently John Kruk's a very, very nice person, but he comes across as gruff. He comes across as, you know, not the person that you'd say, you know, is going to show up at that primary care visit every year for their annual wellness visit. He's talking openly about, here's this thing that happened to me, and that could be really, really powerful. And you'd say, oh yeah, but John Kruk is not, you know, a 20-time All-Star, Hall of Famer, you know, you name it, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not the objective that you're trying to get to here when we're talking about these trust centers and these audiences. John Kruk was likely a very effective celebrity health promotion and awareness person for a subset of the population that would know who John Kruk is and would listen to John Kruk over maybe a surgeon or other types of healthcare professionals or other types of celebrities that might say, hey, heads up, there's this, you know, testicular cancer is this, and here's how you check for it, and whatever else, right? So I think we've got lots of examples of celebrities helping stimulate conversations that otherwise people would feel uncomfortable talking about, except that a celebrity has a disease state or was affected by a disease state.
In another article published in Health Promotion International, Dr. Andrew McNabb from the University of British Columbia and colleagues identified a genre of music videos, educational entertainment, that can help spread messages and promote awareness about healthcare topics that are specific to communities. He said,
we've gained considerable benefits from this research because we've, as others have identified this education entertainment genre as an innovative way of promoting health, but have gone on to use it most recently as a way to promote awareness about sexual and gender-related violence against girls and women in Africa. I mentioned that diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is an epidemic. Very sadly, within African culture, harsh treatment of girls and women, sexual abuse, is very much front and center of the daily life for girls and young mothers. And almost half of women in Africa in their lifetime will report some kind of adverse sexual or gender-related event involving violence. So here we went to, again, young people in our high schools and said, look, tell us about aspects of your life that are a problem in terms of this kind of treatment, in order to, again, find out from them issues that were of immediate relevance. Often these things, when we're trying to teach about health or medicines or behaviors, they're top down. You know, a committee gets together and a group of old people like me say, right, we should tell them about this, and this is important that we do it this way. And often, again, coming back to what I was saying about the dialogue with young people, often you miss something that is relevant. You approach it in a way which doesn't resonate, doesn't interest them, doesn't engage them, doesn't lead to dialogue, so doesn't help.
He added that text, repetition, and imaging are important when it comes to health topic promotions in music videos.
We included the phone number for a helpline in our sexual and gender-related violence music video in Uganda, which dramatically increased their number of calls to that helpline. And it isn't just included in the song. Usually these are put out as a text message, like a subtitle across the screen. So even if you've not got the volume on and you're watching it on a screen, you actually see the health message or the phone number highlighted in that way. So again, coming back to a further explanation about what an education entertainment video or documentary has, is it gives you the information in different ways. It's there as a scenario, as an illustration acted out, a flash image, but it's there as a text, it's there as a statement, it's sung in the song, there's a comment about it by the celebrity. It's kind of given to you in different ways and different layers, so that, if you like, different parts of the brain actually take in the same information, which makes the impact of the education process and the promotion of the fact or the concept that you're trying to get over that much more powerful. Great benefit of the YouTube music video concept is that it is listened to or visual or seen multiple times, so you get repetition, which leads to much greater chance of A, retention, and B, discussion.
But what celebrities will drive these discussions? Dr. Trigson stated that everyone has a different trust center, so it's not a one-size-fits-all method. He said that local trust centers can be leveraged more to spread awareness pertaining to specific communities.
Well, I believe that different strata of the population and different geographies, different generations, different ethnicities, different exposures and worldviews have different trust centers. And so much of what we've found, particularly with the advent of social media, is that trust centers are varied. And the idea of tapping into local trust centers is, it can certainly be powerful. It might be more powerful in some areas of the country than others. I grew up in a town of 4,200 folks, and in a small town in northern Iowa where the nearest major airport's 2 hours away. And there's a lot of trust centers locally, and particularly in rural areas, I would argue, underserved areas as well. We've seen that with sort of the barbershop trials, and where is it that you sort of let down your guard and let your turn your ears on and listen, right? You're not on guard, you're not in defense mode, but you're in listening mode, is different for different communities, and certainly the rural communities I relate to quite a bit, having grown up around rural areas. And quite oftentimes the healthcare providers are the most highly educated folks in town. So it's your teachers in the local school district. You might have a lawyer or two, and you have healthcare providers. And so healthcare providers speaking in their own voice, particularly if they live in that community, I believe is very powerful. It's one of the reasons that those encounters between local providers and local patients tend to be effective, trust-based interactions as well. So yes, local folks, local churches, local healthcare providers, again, at different trust centers for different folks.
Dr. Sean Young from the University of California Institute for Prediction Technology added that these trust centers don't necessarily have to be celebrities or even local celebrities. He said that sometimes even a peer can be more powerful than a healthcare physician or pharmacist.
I would even take it to a more scalable level even than pharmacists and physicians. We had a recent study around opioid use disorder, patients with opioid use disorder, where there's also a lot of, it's not vaccines, but a lot of hesitancy and stigma and distrust around that treatment. And very surprising, we found that patients with opioid use disorder said they would prefer to receive health information and treatment information from other peers with opioid use disorder rather than from healthcare providers. This was surprising to us as scientists and healthcare providers, but important information. So it means that, one, the true celebrities may be other patients, and often are other patients because of their experiences with being patients. And also that makes it both more scalable and empowering to support patients, because there are so many patients, and these patients are often the most passionate also about sharing information. So I think it's really helpful and important that we as scientists in the public health community invest more time and effort educating and gaining the support of patients, because these are the ones who are often most passionate and often the most received by others. So if we want campaigns against misinformation or in promotion of vaccination, we need to empower other patients with the knowledge and support and tools for them to be able to do it themselves. Of course, having pharmacists and physicians, healthcare providers, is important, as well as celebrities. You know, we're all in it together. It's a big effort coming together, but I think it's really promising and exciting, the power of the patient voice and being able to help empower them.
For celebrity endorsements, Dr. Trigstad mentioned one risk in celebrity endorsements is that celebrity status and celebrity interests are not static over time. There are a variety of factors that can come into play for celebrity endorsements.
Yeah, to me, the two risk corridors is, again, assuming that somebody's cachet with a particular audience is static over time, could get better, could get worse, depending on lots of factors. So, you know, if I was a person in this space, I wouldn't be signing any long-term deals, in other words, right? But the other is that it's the nature of the relationship between the person on that screen, that person on the TikTok, and that person that is on the other end of whatever that celebrity is doing. And that even though it's not a relationship in a traditional sense, it is a relationship, right? And not only is that person's cachet potentially change over time, some people are more Swifties now, some people are less Swifties now, that can be in flux. There's some people that will be Swifties for life, right? But it's also, I think, you know, if I was to run, I have a health economics degree and did econometrics, if I were to run a really fancy statistical model, my guess is one of the predictive factors of the strength of that connection between that audience and that celebrity has to do with authenticity. And that the more that audience believes that person is authentic and is really speaking to them, that the more likely it is that it's going to the message is going to sink in. And we see that this is literally political science, right? How am I connecting with somebody? And what is fake to some people is very authentic to others, but you want to be able to measure that authenticity and optimize that authenticity. To me, it's just easier if that celebrity can personally speak to the disease state.
Dr. Young said that collaboration and communication between patients, key stakeholders, healthcare providers, and scientists are essential to ensure authenticity of the celebrity endorsement.
Communication and planning and a coordinated discussion and marketing approach is really important for ensuring buy-in from as many people as possible, and making it feel like it's a joint effort.
Dr. Luttrelli added that celebrity endorsements have come up in national pharmacist meetings and how it is an interesting topic among pharmacists and other healthcare professionals.
I think this is a really interesting topic. I think it's something that, you know, comes up more frequently from, you know, time to time. Even at, you know, some of our, you know, national meetings, we talked about different celebrity endorsements and how bringing awareness to certain things, you know, could be helpful. You know, no one wants to, you know, sell out their profession, right? You know, we're not saying that the celebrity or anybody, you know, that isn't part of the profession replaces the profession. It's more of a spokesperson. So I think this is an important topic, and I think it's something that is picking up, you know, more discussion worth hearing about.
In conclusion, Dr. Trigstad had this to say.
I'm hoping, if I had the ability to speak to pharmaceutical manufacturers generally, policy folks up at CMS or in DC or even at the state level, there's an army of more than 250,000 licensed healthcare professionals out there called pharmacists. who are celebrities in their own right to certain populations across the country. And that when we talk about public health measures, health prevention, screenings, big one, screenings, that there's a gigantic untapped opportunity to work with pharmacists as endorsers, celebrities, etc. Just as we have with primary care, rightly so, for a long time, and others, to be population health management and screening just juggernauts, because there is a lot of trusted relationships, particularly with the patients that have the most challenging issues going on. And we need to use that front door to the healthcare system to do a lot more screening and education and counseling, not just counseling for the drug when it's there at the counter, at the end of the counter, but screening for conditions, screening for whether or not regimens are working, et cetera, and that they may not end up on a manufacturer's commercial on broadcast television, but they are a celebrity to a lot of people in their community.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus miniseries, Star Power, Celebrity Endorsements in Pharma, as well as the whole series. If you haven't listened to the rest of the series, episodes 1 through 3 are available now wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for tuning in.